coming to you from the liberal Northeast. Dynamite in a small package. A prolific conservative blog writer. A brilliant conservative mind. A warrior for the Constitution. An advocate for the preservation of our God-given freedoms. Taking the fight directly to the conspiracy nutjobs and liberal crackpots. She's going all out in this war against fascism and the wanton destruction of our republic. This is All Out Amy! Amy.
Welcome. This is Amy from All Out Amy, as my intro just mentioned, and I want to thank, as always, DC from ChimpsyTalk.com for giving me this opportunity. And if you're on Facebook, you can find us at Chimpsy Conservative Talk, and that's C-H-I-M-P-S-Y, Conservative Talk. And we are growing and growing each and every day. So today, this is episode number 20, and I have a couple things to talk about. First thing I'm going to talk about is the whole Jets commentator thing, and then I have a couple of other things I want to talk about. Grade school mosque visit in Massachusetts, and some other things. So I'm going to start off with this. You know, I'm sure that by now everyone's heard about this. Inez Sainz, she shows up at the Ravens-Jets game, and she goes backstage, and she's going to interview. Now, first of all, let me just say that what are women doing in the locker room right after the game with men changing and dressing? I understand that men, you know, do it all the time in front of each other, and I'm sure at this point women do it too in locker rooms. It's just not acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable, and if a man tried to go into the woman's locker room with them half naked, there would be such a furor and an upcry. Why is it any different for a woman going in when the men are walking around naked? What's the difference? It's, you want equality, and you don't ever practice what you preach. It's ridiculous. She shouldn't have been there to begin with. So that's number one. Problem is totally null and void, because you're not in the men's locker room with them walking around naked full of testosterone after a freaking football game. This is how they describe it. She walked in a black mini dress with a plunging neckline and matching black stilettos, while insisting that she felt very uncomfortable going in there. Okay, what? Yeah, they're gonna stare at you. She has a killer body. Absolutely killer body. Of course they're going to stare at you. You just walked into a locker room after a football game. You can taste the testosterone in the room. And you are complaining that they ogled you? They said, let's see here. Sans worse for the Mexican TV Azteca. She said, one jet shouted to her, I want to play with a Mexican. Another one said, Eres muy guapa, which is Spanish for you are beautiful. Oh boy, jeez, I feel so intimidated. They told me I was beautiful. I walked into a locker room half naked with my boobs hanging out and my bubble butt bouncing around, and they told me I was beautiful. Oh my God, the world is ending, you know. She said she didn't want any part of it. She's quoted as saying she didn't want any part of it, and she felt really uncomfortable. Yeah. Okay, whatever. She said she heard the noises and she knew that they were talking about her. Well, what gave you the first clue, you know? And then she goes on to say that her body type might be the type that could stretch jeans a little. Have you seen this chick? You think? Okay. And, of course, the most ridiculous part of the whole entire story is that the Jets brass is going to have women in sports media host an educational session with the team, because nobody should feel uncomfortable in the locker room. Okay. Brakes on. Absolutely freaking ludicrous. And everyone should have looked at this chick. Because then she goes on to other things saying, oh, well, you know, I don't want to make it a big deal. I don't want to make a bigger deal than it already. There is no big deal. The big deal is that you were an idiot. You didn't use your head. And then you expect everyone else to kowtow. You are a pig who walked into a men's locker room half naked, If you see the pictures of her, she's on the sidelines. She's always half naked. Or she's got spray-painted jeans on. So if that's the way you choose to go to a football game that is 90% male, full of testosterone, then you're gonna get some catcalls. That comes with the territory. It's almost like me doing my blog when there's an article. There was an article out, a German newspaper, they issued an article. Some research found that men staring at women's breasts was equivalent to 20 minutes of exercise because it got your heart rate going. You know, absolutely, it just seems like the most ridiculous thing in the world, but, you know, whatever. I did a blog on it. It was a good-natured blog. There was a couple of pictures that I had that I took that exposed a great amount of cleavage, let's just say that. And I posted the blog saying, stare away, boys. I'll do my part to, you know, make you healthy, blah, 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 blah. Everyone got a kick out of it. But it's almost like, you know, the comments that were coming back were, yeah, the cat calls, you know, the written cat calls and the whatever, you know, I have great boobs. Okay, I admit it. So when I flaunt them, I expect that people are going to look at them and tell me I have great boobs. I'm not insulted by that. I'm insulted by that if I'm in the middle of a boardroom and I have a button-up blouse on and a jacket and someone's, you know, leering at me and talking lewdly to me. Yeah, it's not the time or place. But it's not the time or place for this chick to walk into a men's locker room, first of all. I don't think there's ever a time that she should. Any woman should. You know, it's not the time or place to be wearing, you know, plunging necklines and mini dresses with stiletto heels into, you know, right after a football game. It's just, it's not appropriate. But we've come to think that everyone can do whatever they want and everything is good to go. Well, yeah, there's consequences to those decisions. And nobody wants the consequences. Well, too bad. I found a little snippet that I think fits Inez Sands perfectly.
You say you think we need to go to war, well, you're already in one. 'Cause it's people like you that need to get slew. No one wants your opinion.
Why did I play that snippet? Because, you know, people like Inez Sands are what's wrong with a lot of people today. You have no sense whatsoever. You don't have any sense, and yet when something bad happens, it's everyone else's fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault that you were born with a gorgeous body and that men are going to stare at you. No, it's not. But you know how to use those assets, let's say, to gain attention. It probably got you far in broadcasting. But what happened to professional dress? Even if it was a pair of khakis and a polo shirt, there should be a dress code. And you don't want to adhere to the dress code. I'm sure there probably is, but no one wants to say anything because then, you know, you just, you know, chill, bitch, and moan that, oh, you're just discriminating against me because I'm a beautiful woman with a bubble butt. You know, come on. You know, people have to use their heads, but we're so worried about being politically correct, and nobody wants to be called a racist or a homophobe or a feminist or, you know, well, actually, the bra-burning bulldogs love to be called feminists, but I digress. You know, no one wants to be called a sexist, you know, today. Well, all of that stuff is human nature, whether we like it or not, and you try to minimize it. But if you're going to be an ant walking into a beehive or into a spider nest, you're going to get eaten up. That's for all you loonies out there, you Looney Tunes, say, oh, she should be able to walk naked into that dressing room without having to have anyone give her a catcall, morons. Yeah, she had the right to be a woman, and she has the right to wear whatever she wants to wear. But the men have a right to be men. So tired of the pussification of men in America. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. We're not the same. We don't, God did not make us the same. We don't react the same. We don't think the same. And they have testosterone, and we don't. So don't you dare walk in there and act like it. Yeah, I know the Jets are a bunch of, you know, sophomoric, you know, bad boys, whatever. But you can't tell me that that's the only locker room she's going to walk into looking like that and get a catcall or a stare or a leer or a lewd gesture or something. That's the nature of the whole thing. The guys do it to each other, for Christ's sakes. You know, so give me a break with all of this crap. It's just crap, you know. We're not talking about a high school girl, you know, who's just budding puberty, walking down the street and getting harassed by, you know, older, leering men who, you know, act like they've never seen a pair of young breasts before. No, this is a grown woman. She knew exactly what she was doing, and she, again, is the reason that there are so many issues between men and women, because you act like that, I'm not going to say you dress like that, but you dress like that to go into the wrong setting, and then you act like it's the men's fault. No. Now you wonder why men call you a bitch, or call women bitches, or they distrust us at every turn. I mean, men are not perfect, but they are certainly not the creatures that advertisements and the lesbian left have made them out to be. It drives me crazy. This is all on Amy. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Open your mouth from sea to shining sea. But will the real Americans please stand up? No more hiding your face in the sand. Will the real Americans please stand up? Divided we're falling, but united.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the Founding Fathers.
Oomph, and it rides when politicians take from you and me the very liberties that set us free. Stand up and fight, for this democracy is you and me. We're the resounding saddle up, let's ride. Americans, please stand up. No more hiding your face in the sand. Will the real Americans please stand up? Divided we're falling, but united we'll stand up, stand strong, stand tall, and we'll keep these walls from falling. Stand up, stand strong, stand tall.
Natural unalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment.
I
I think it's time we stop. Hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. Stop. Hear what's that sound? Everybody look at what's going.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Okay, this is Amy from All Out Amy. I'm back. A while back, a couple of weeks ago, I posted a poll at polldaddy.com. And I asked the question, what is your reason for opposing the 9/11 mosque? I should have said terror mosque, but... And the answers that I, you know, that you had to choose from were, it will be seen as a victory to all Islamic radicals around the world. It will further Sharia law in America. It is an affront to 9/11 families, victims, and all Americans. All of the above. I don't oppose the mosque being built or other. Now, 1.28%, there was only two votes for it will further Sharia law in America. That kind of concerned me. That just tells me that people don't really know anything about Sharia law. But 10 votes went to 6.41% went to it will be seen as a victory to all Islamic radicals around the world. 10.26% went to it is an affront to 9/11 families, victims, and all Americans. Other people had just made comments below. I'll read one of those comments in a minute. 69%, let's see, I don't oppose the mosque being built with 6.41%, so that was only 10 votes, and this is out of 156 votes. So 69.23% said all of the above, so that was kind of good to see. Now, this was open to everybody. It was open to the public. It was open to everyone on Facebook, and people had reposted it, so I don't even know who, unless they gave their real name below in the comments, I don't even know who took the poll. So it's not just right-wing extremists, as one guy calls us, who did the poll. But it was funny. People listening to the show will it's just so pathetic. One guy wrote, this guy's name is William, he writes, I am very much afraid that the right-wing extremists have hijacked the political agenda to further their particular causes without regard to what's true or what's right. We have sunk to a new low of intolerance and hatred, seeing enemies everywhere. We can no longer distinguish friend or foe. Our true enemies are smiling at our confusion and escaping. He cites a Sarah Palin blog. So I guess Sarah Palin's that right-wing extremist who's hijacked the political agenda. It's more like hijacking it to get it back on track, William. You know, ooh, family values, ooh, what a bad thing. Ooh, you know, mom and dad with children, ooh, bad thing, you know. Standing up for what you believe in, ooh, bad thing. Defending your Second Amendment rights, ooh, oh my God, she's going to hell. You know, pathetic. So anyways, you know, we find out now that this, and I even hate to say imam, because imam means like father, or no one's my father. I had my father, and, you know, no one else is my father. So this Imam Rauf, who comes back from overseas, yes, he was a diplomat for the United States under George Bush. And we all know that George Bush tried very hard to make the American people believe that most Muslims don't want to kill us, okay? My contention, once again, is that most moderate Muslims in America, I think you'll only find moderates in America, and I think that you will find that they escaped the whack jobs from their own country, and they didn't want to be subject to the whack jobbery that is their countries. Most of the people in those countries are ignorant. They don't even read. They don't write. So they're being told, much like what the Catholic Church and other, you know, when we, you know, the Spanish Inquisition, we were told what was in the Bible, and no one was allowed to read the Bible. So, you know, the same kind of ignorance is being perpetuated today. The difference is they still live in the 7th century. People who still dress like the movie The Ten Commandments don't have much to teach me. Sorry. Maybe that's the arrogant American in me that everyone keeps talking about. You know, America's so arrogant. You're nothing to teach me. Nothing. I'm hearing a speech from Obama, and he's talking about how Muslims contributed to space exploration. Sorry, I don't remember there being John Glenn, Buzz Aldrich, and Ahmad Abdul Muhammad landing on the moon. That didn't happen. It didn't happen. I don't care how much you say it. I don't care how much you pretend. It didn't happen. Next, he's saying some ridiculous thing that they built the railroads. Again. Next to Ling Long Pi and Ming Mong Mi and Yong Chong Ching and Nguyen Wong Wing was not Abdullah Allah Ahmed Muhammad. Didn't happen. They did not build the railroads. They did not go to space. They're in the 7th century in all of those countries. You got nothing to teach me. You contributed zip, nada, nilch, net, nothing to American society, our culture, our way of life. You did nothing for us. The only thing you've done is drive a wedge between law-abiding, decent, hard-working people and your friggin' selfish, slimy, ignorant, arrogant selves. That's it. Sorry. I don't give a shit if you call me a bigot. I don't really care what you think of me. You know, I got this little death threat on Facebook, so I'm sure that I'll have a few more before everything is said and done. Oh well, you're not shutting me up. I don't shut up easy. And you know, no one else drives a wedge further into that divide than our own slanderer and thief himself. He's done absolutely nothing to help the discourse between Muslims and Americans. And you know, it's kind of funny because I'm going to play a little clip. He seems to think that he was propelled by the Jewish community into the presidency. And he seems to think that the Jewish civil rights movement in America, okay, what? That's why he's so close to the Jewish community. Listen to him in his own words. I think this guy's like, he's off his freaking rocker.
People in Israel who are anxious about you and who, you know, I'm quoting their sentiments, feel like you don't have a special connection to Israel. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is the thing that actually surfaced even before I was elected president in some of the talk that was circulating within the Jewish American community. Ironically, you know, I've got a chief of staff named Rahm Israel Emanuel. My top political advisor is somebody who's a descendant of Holocaust survivors. You know, my closeness to the Jewish American community was probably what propelled me to the U.S. Senate. My not just knowledge, but sympathy and identification with the Jewish experience is rooted in part because of the historic connection between the African-American freedom movement here in the United States and the civil rights efforts of Jewish Americans and some of the same impulses that led to the creation of Israel. And so I think what this arises from, some of it may just be the fact that my middle name is Hussein, and that creates suspicion. Some of it may have to do with the fact that I have actively reached out to the Muslim community.
Okay, is it me? This guy is in the last 2 years has done nothing but turn his back on Israel. I mean, he insulted Netanyahu. He's done everything at the appeasing tours, bowing to Saudi princes and all this kind of crap. Where are the loons who were so upset over George Bush? Where are the loons who were so adamant that we were in the Saudis' pockets? Why aren't they saying anything about Obama? some people are waking up, some people have recognized it, but there are still some loons who, everything's George Bush's fault, everything's George Bush's fault. You know, now Obama comes out and is saying that they have the right to build the mosque at 9/11. Instead of being manning up, grabbing this set and saying, you know what, Imam Rauf, I don't care what the Muslim nations think if we don't build there. I don't care if they go bananas over someone drawing a cartoon. I don't care, because what they do in their country and what we are subject to in their country is one thing. You're sure in hell not going to dictate what we do here in America. We have what's called our Constitution. If you don't like it, get the hell out. We don't care if they think that the extremists, quote-unquote, have won. What extremists? What extremists are you talking about, Imam Rauf? The people who are down there who lost loved ones? Or is it the extremists, the ones that you support? That everything that's coming out shows you supported the terrorists, that you support terror. You support the destruction of Israel, and therefore the destruction of America. But Obama won't say that, will he? No, 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 no. And as far as Rahm Emanuel, he's another self-hating Jew like Bloomberg. Modern-day Pharisees, that's all they are. They'll do anything, they will sell their soul for a buck. That's exactly the way those two are. I'll be back.
Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement, and it gives no choice between peace and war. Only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material complications. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. He said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
So as most of you know, that's one of Ronald Reagan's most famous speeches. I played that because people still don't get it. It has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with intolerance. It has to do with surviving and securing your society and your way of life, and ensuring that it's maintained and that it goes on. Islam, there's no, it's black and white. You either are or you're not. If you're not, it's their job to make you so. Whether they do it peacefully or not, whatever. I don't like people forcing the religion on me, period. I'm a Christian. I always will be a Christian, and there's not one thing you're going to do. You're going to have to kill me before you make me put on a burqa or cover my head with a headscarf. Most insulting thing in the world to me. But that's besides the point. So I played that piece because they are infiltrating every aspect of our life, and we're allowing it to happen because people don't have the balls to stand up and say, enough is enough. That's not our way of life. If you want to come to America, you need to assimilate into American society and into our culture. If you don't want to do that, if you want to bring your back asswards, you know, style of living to America, ain't happening. You're not doing it. You're not going to have a separate laws just for you and your people. You're not going to have special enclaves like they have all over the country now for you and your people. Just, it's not going to happen. I mean, I found it. There was on Somali Net forums, there was an article about this woman in New York who had come here from Somalia. Excuse me. And this is a quote. Somalian immigrant Malika Sabtau raised 5 children in African refugee camps, surviving for 14 years without electricity, amid persistent drought and regular outbreaks of malaria and tuberculosis. But none of those 14 years, she said, was as bad as the past 5 months in Buffalo, New York. Because they took her children away from her. She said, at least in Africa I had my children. And supporters of Sabtau claim that the county was overzealous in taking away her children. Let's see. Child Protective Services became involved following a July 30th incident in the rented family home on Chenango Street, in which Kamis allegedly beat his 8-year-old son, Abdi Abdi, with a belt and tied the boy's hands and legs with rope after he misbehaved at school. Corporal punishment is acceptable in Somalia, according to friends who said Kami didn't intend to hurt his son. However, they already understand that what the man did is a no-no here, said Osman Dula Abdullah, a longtime Buffalo resident who was from Somalia. So you knew it. You did it anyways, and now that they take away your kids, America's worse than a Somali refugee camp in Africa? Then take your 7th century, back-ass, flea-bitten, bed-bug-infested selves back to your hellhole and pit in the world that is Somalia. Get the hell out of my country. This stuff infuriates me. Infuriates me. Can you tell? So, in the past couple of days, things have come out about the Muslim American society, okay? According to this article, it was on FoxNews.com, but it's been all over the news. In Wellesley, Massachusetts, there was a field trip to a mosque, okay? Now, in the video, this is on May 27th that this happened, this field trip took place, but the video only recently surfaced and became known to other parents and stuff. So some of the parents complained. It sparked a big controversy. Oh, go figure. And in there it says that if you watch the video, you can find it most places now. All you have to do is Google Wellesley Mass Mosque Controversy. They show them being in the big prayer, you know, the big main hall, whatever, prayer room, and, you know, the women and girls are sitting in the pews, and the men are over praying, and they show some of the little boys from the class who were praying with the men, and you hear the mother saying, who's videotaping, she's videotaping this, now it's a mother who's on the trip as a chaperone, she's videotaping it, she's saying, oh my God, okay, first of all, in my mind, I'm like, don't just stand there and say, oh my God. Get over there and say, kids, out. Get out. Get outside now. They had no business being there. If you want separation of church and state so badly, you stupid loons, then this should have you absolutely climbing the walls. But it won't, because the right is against it. The right is making it such a big, quote-unquote, stink out of nothing. So just to cut off your nose to spite your face, you won't say a damn thing about this. Wellesley, Mass. Is a loony bin. They're all progressive loons out in this area around Boston. They're all loons. So these kids are shown praying. One of the kids is actually Jewish, according to some of the reports. And people who are at the mosque are like, oh, no, 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 the kids did that voluntarily. If they want to pray, we're not going to stop them. Yeah. The teachers and the chaperones should have stopped them. One of the parents says that she goes back and looks at the permission slip, and the permission slip says that they're going to look at architecture and then be exposed to, you know, certain parts of Islamic culture. Okay, fine. First of all, not fine, because it was a Catholic church. They claim that all the Catholic churches and synagogues are also bull. Bull, bull, bull. According to the article on Fox.com, it says, the trip was part of a social studies course, Enduring Beliefs in the World Today, and also includes trips to a synagogue, a gospel musical performance, and a meeting with Hindu religious leaders. Okay, that doesn't tell me that they went and sat in a church. Can you imagine taking a Muslim kid into a Catholic church and telling him that, oh, you know, say, come on, why don't you come, you know, pretend to be an altar boy at this Catholic church? The church would be firebombed. There would be death threats. There'd be, you know, there would be picketing. There would be rioting. Just, it's absolutely, the one-way street has got to stop. If you don't want anything to do with religion in schools today at all, then it's it. No religion, period. You don't go visit a mosque any more than you go visit a Catholic church. And they say, well, it's, you know, we go out in the community and we do proselytize to, you know, let people, to invite them in to the community center. So you hear community center, you see people with beards and headscarves, you got a freaking terrorist organization going on there, I hate to tell you. People say, oh, you can't make that blanket statement. Yeah, I can. I am. I'm telling you right now. This particular mosque that the kids went to was founded by Abdul Rahman Al-Amoudi, okay? And he is in jail for 23 years for aiding and abetting terrorists. And let's see here. What are the little snippet do we have on him? Let's see here. The Islamic Society of Boston was founded by Abdul Rahman Al-Amoudi, who is currently serving 23 years in jail on terror charges. For years, its board of trustees included Yosef Al-Qaradawi, however you say it, the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, who was banned by Bill Clinton from the United States in 1999. He now chairs the Muslim American Society's university, which offers classes inside the mosque. Over half the mosque's $15.5 million price tag was funded by wealthy Saudis, and since it opened, several of its leaders, donors, and members have been implicated in Islamic extremism. Osama Zaid, a big donor to the mosque, is now a fugitive in Lebanon after being indicted in 2009 for dealing in the assets of an al-Qaeda financier. Ahmad Absamara, the son of a Boston Muslim American Society former vice president, Abdulaban Absamara, is now a fugitive in Syria, fleeing the country before being indicted in 2009 on charges of aiding al-Qaeda. One of the mosque's imams, Abdul Farouk, which I played a clip a few shows ago, was captured on tape in 2010 telling followers to pick up the gun and the sword and to defend another local terrorist, Hafa Siddiqui, from the U.S. government. Siddiqui, who was one of the imam's congregants, is an MIT graduate and al-Qaeda member awaiting sentencing for attempting to murder FBI agents in Afghanistan while shouting death to America. And our esteemed leaders in Boston, Governor Devil Patrick and Mumbles Mouth Menino, who, for those of you who don't know, he pretty much sounds like Bonnie Frank. We call him Mumbles. They both embrace this mosque and everything about it. Okay? That tells you all you need to know about the Boston Progressive Loons. So, they're taking children, grade school children, 12, 13-year-old kids, to a mosque that's founded by terrorists. The leaders are all terrorists. They fund and support al-Qaeda. And you're taking the kids there to go have some dink chick convert talk about how women had rights under Muhammad and under Islam for thousands of years, and we only just got the vote, you know, the right to vote in America in the early 20th century. As if we're supposed to believe that Islam is so great to women. Okay? The only two places in the world today that women have the right to vote, according to one of my Islamic friends who knows a little bit about Islam, is Iraq and Afghanistan. Okay, so where's all this right to vote? Men didn't even have the right to vote under Muhammad. Muhammad had the last say. He was the be-all and end-all. He was the despot, the totalitarian, who you either did what he said or he chopped off your head. So you're bringing kids there, and this is okay with the loons. This is okay with the loons. It's not okay with me. Shouldn't be okay with you. Oh, but when you go to the Muslim American Society's website in regards to the Wellesley School Middle School's visit to the mosque, they say the video was taken without the permission of the school and the parents of the children, which is a gross violation of not only ethical behavior with minors, but also the right of parents not to have their children filmed without their permission and risk the safety of the children. Parents do not know in whose hands the footage of their children is going to. I'll say it again. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and clucks like a duck, it's a duck. So yeah, I'm sure there are some Muslims in America today that all they want is peace, and all they want is the same thing as you and I. They just want to be left alone. They want to be left alone. They don't want to be subject to this stuff. But this mosque is a terror mosque. The one going in at Ground Zero is a terror mosque. The one they built here in Worcester is a terror mosque. They all have ties to terrorism. Whether or not it's guilt by association, I don't really care. Are you willing to take that chance? Are you willing to take that chance on these mega mosques? They're not just, it's not the mosque itself. They're community centers that include a mosque. Yeah. Look up Darwa. It precedes all jihad.
But and they're
that's
blaming
exactly
everyone
what they're
else.
Doing. They're just blaming community people centers. Who, intolerant bigots who are out to get them. No. No. We're out to get evil, bottom-dwelling, vile scum out of our country, out of our lives, out of our workplaces of employment, and most importantly, out of our schools and children's heads. This is All Out Amy. I'll be back. We'll take a little break.
The stroke of a feather pen to the hole we find us in, our forefathers would be ashamed, that's for sure. All our rights are slipping away, it won't even let us pray. Is this our country anymore? Before I lose my freedom of speech, we're going down in history, 'cause if you try to take that away, you're gonna hear me roar. A soldier fights to keep us free, and you play Monopoly. Tell me, is this our country anymore? Knock, knock, the U.S. is at your door. Now, 'cause we can't take no more. We've come too far to lose it all, and all we wanna know is this our country anymore?
Oh,
to us to dry her eyes. Let her down, she crumble and fall. She needs care and fall. She cries out to you and me for children's hopes and dreams. Is this our country anymore? Knock, knock, the U.S. is at your door. Can you hear us now? 'Cause we can't take no more. We've come too far to lose it all. This our country anymore? Is this our country anymore? Sweet Lady Liberty cries, it's up to us to dry her eyes.
Okay, I'm coming into the final segment of the show, and this is Amy from All Out. Amy, welcome back. This final segment, I'll talk about a little bit about, I don't know, maybe it's me, maybe I think differently, but, you know, what passes as advertisements today and what passes for what's acceptable, what's morally acceptable, is just, I just don't get it. I really don't get it. So every day I listen, well, most every day I listen while I'm at work. I'm lucky enough to be able to listen to talk radio, and I try to change it up. But on Rush, on the Rush Radio Network, they have this series of ads from the Ad Council, and they're all different. And I'm going to play you one, they're very short clips, but I'm going to play one clip, and this, to me, is the loony bin world in a nutshell. They do everything with feeling, which feelings are good, but you can't make major decisions based on feeling. So this, you tell me, does this not sound exactly like the, you know, roller coaster ride of a loony bin mind?
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But they were too busy counting profits while the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. But now half the town's unemployed, and the kids are twice as sick since they can't get health care, since their parents lost the insurance they had when they worked for the company who dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Okay, so do you see where I'm coming from there? This young girl starts out thinking that she's doing something fantastic because she wants to right a wrong that she sees going on, and doesn't think it through, and then all of a sudden it ends up being as bad, if not worse, than what the original problem was. Okay? Tell me that's not how the loony left actually operates. That particular ad was, at the end of it, it was, there's easier ways to say, saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Give blood. Okay, whatever. So that's, you know, that's one thing. The other set of ads is this Sassy, and it's for shelter pets. So there's a couple of, I merged them all together, so you'll hear a couple in a row. But let me know if you think, you know, the same way that I'm thinking here. Something is very wrong with this set of advertisements. And you tell me if you don't feel the same way.
Sassy!
Today's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh no, a rattlesnake! Sassy, help! He will, but first you want to talk about shelter pets? The majority of pets in shelters are there due to owner-related issues like divorce or allergies?
Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg! Ha ha! I win! Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What do you say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Sassy!
Today's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Oh, nuts! There's a bobcat in this cave! Save us, Sassy! You will, but first you'd like to stress the importance of cat adoption? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year and they need to be adopted?
Help us, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Okay, so anyone else see the issue with those ads? Now, if those ads were done in a comedy stand-up routine, they'd be hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. But as I'm listening, something kept striking me as odd, these ads, and, you know, I'm just working away, and then it hits me. They put these ads out there, and they're valuing the shelter pets' lives over the life of the boys. Does anyone else have a problem with that? I have pets. I love my dogs. I'd do anything for my dogs. But they're not human beings. And I can't say that I would take, you know, I would try and save them if something was going wrong or if there was a fire. But would I save my brother first? Would I save, you know, how do they think that that's acceptable? How do they think that that's morally correct or good? How do you listen to those ads as a person with any kind of decency and think, hey, those are great ads, yeah. Who listened to those and gave it the thumbs up? I think it's sick and demented. I think it's twisted. I don't know. Maybe it is just me. Maybe it's just me. But I don't know. I can't say that I'm overly impressed with anything that even remotely has to do with promoting any of these agendas, you know? I mean, yeah, there are a lot of shelter pets, but you know what? Then you make people spay or neuter their pets. You know, if your city has too many and you want to license your dog, your cat or dog, which in my city you have to, it's not an option, then they have to be spayed or neutered. Unless you're a breeder, unless it's part of your job to breed animals and you are, you know, given the thumbs up that, yeah, you have a decent place, that you're not abusing the animals, you're not a puppy mill, you know, great, then you can keep their huevos on them. Otherwise, no, there's too many. There's far too many cats, there's far too many dogs. You have dogs being imported in from overseas, from Afghanistan and Iraq, which is fine. You know, I mean, I love pets. They're the best thing, one of the best things that ever happened to me was my pets. I love them to death. They are definitely a great source of love, affection, and just unconditional loyalty and love. So it's great, especially if you don't have children. But these advertisements are sick. What passes as decency today, and it all ties in together. The chick, the reporter walking into a men's locker room half naked, you know, no decency, absolutely has no common decency. You know, this whole entire mosque thing, people have no decency whatsoever. These advertisements, no decency whatsoever. Yet we're supposed to be buffaloed into thinking that the left is the group that is the most decent, the most kind, the most loving, the most tolerant, and the most the biggest defender of children. Everything's for the children, isn't it? It's just pathetic. So, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I just think in a totally different way. But what I'll tell you, there is something that I can honestly say I find absolutely without a shadow of a doubt decent, kind, and honorable. This was a letter to the editor posted in Dallas News, and it says, "To Roger Staubach, still Captain America. Recently, my brother was sitting in first class on a flight from Dallas-Fort Worth to Colorado Springs when a couple boarded and sat in front of him. He immediately recognized the man as Roger Staubach. They exchanged greetings, and Staubach said he was headed to Colorado Springs for the inaugural Warriors game. After 60 or 70% of the plane was boarded, a female Army soldier who had lost her leg boarded. Staubach insisted she sit in his seat. She said no thanks, but he insisted. He took her place in the middle seat way in the back. After a few minutes, the young girl got tears in her eyes and said she wanted to go to her seat and have Staubach return to his. The flight attendant overheard, and as the female soldier headed to retrieve Staubach, the attendant said she had a no-show and both could sit in first class. The flight attendant returned with the female soldier, but Staubach sent a double amputee Army soldier to sit in his seat. Staubach remained in coach the entire flight and disembarked last. My brother waited and asked for an autograph for my birthday. Staubach said, certainly, it's a great gift, but the greater gift is knowing Roger Staubach is still Captain America. And that was written by Drew Werner from Addison, Texas, and that was posted in the Dallas News. That is honor. That's decency. Anyone who, he could have been like this snots, could have been a complete arrogant jerk. He could have, he could have refused the autograph. He didn't have to do any of that stuff, but he did because he's a decent, honest human being. And we need more people like that. We need more people like that. We need more people who are willing to defend our Constitution, defend our way of life, who aren't afraid to stand up and say what they mean and mean what they say. They can't be afraid. You can't be afraid. You just cannot be afraid. That is the worst thing we can do, but everyone's so afraid. So, the best thing you can do for people is to give them a backbone or a spine and get them. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be rude and insulting. Hey, I meet people every day. I work with all different kinds of people. My city's a sanctuary city, for Christ's sakes. So, there's all different types of people. I am not and the least bit abrasive to anyone that I meet, unless they're acting that way to me to begin with. Then, yeah, of course, then the all-out Amy comes out in me. But otherwise, you would never know that I have issues with liberals, with Muslim extremists, with racists, with bigots. I could care less about, as long as you keep it on your side of the fence. You don't try and force it onto my side of the fence. You do whatever you want to do. I could care less if you had sex with a donkey in your bedroom. I could care less. That's how you choose to spend your time. More power to you. You want to put your head down to a prayer mat 5 times a day? More power to you. Just don't try to force it on the rest of us. That's when I have a problem, and that's when people need to get a spine, stand up for what's right. Well, coming into the final, as I said, this is the final segment of the show, so I just wanted to make sure that I end the show with some type of support for the military. I've been doing that Cup of Joe for a Joe. It's if you look up the website, it's pretty cool. You can donate anywhere from $2 up to whatever, each cup of coffee, or it's iced tea, iced coffee, whatever they sell at the base exchange. As far as beverages, it's $2. So when you donate to the Cup of Joe for a Joe, The different service members who were deployed can submit for a voucher, and then when they get it, they go and get whatever they want. And you get back the responses, which is really cool. And some of them ask to be your pen pal, which is, again, very cool. And, you know, I definitely encourage people to do it, especially if they get the person who wants to be a pen pal. It costs nothing to send an email. It costs nothing to, you know, send a virtual card or a thumbs up, whatever, words of encouragement. And the words that they send back are really cool. It's really, really fulfilling. So I encourage everyone to do that. And with that, I want to again thank DC from Chimpsy Radio. And you can catch all of our shows at chimpsytalk.com or on Facebook at Chimpsy Conservative Talk. My show airs at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. And you can always catch the Podomatic at alloutamy.podomatic.com. So this is All Out Amy saying thank you for listening and see ya.